Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, and welcome back to Talk Daytime. First of all, before I get into this, I want to apologize. I am sick and fighting whatever this is, so everybody bear with me. But today we have Leon Acord, who most of you know as the creator of Old Dogs and New Tricks, and he also stars in that show with Nathan Adler. Recently, there has been a lot of talk about reviving Old Dogs and New Tricks, and I've known Leon for a long time, so I asked him to be on the show so we can get the scoop. So, per usual, I have Kathy with me, and so let's get started. Are you guys there?
Yes.
Hi, everybody.
Hey.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, of course. How are you doing?
Doing well. How are you guys doing? I'm sorry to hear about your is it a cold or the flu or?
Yeah, I think it's the flu. I'm trying to pretend like it's not, but it's been going around, so I think it is.
Yeah.
It's lovely.
All sorts of things going around. I just got over bronchitis myself last week, so.
Yeah, it's been in
I'm figuring
house,
mine's
had
just
it.
Like
my
a state of depression.
But... There you go.
I'm sorry.
I figure I'm just in a political state of depression. That's my excuse.
Oh,
I'm
my gosh.
That.
Well, that's going around even. That's like an epidemic proportions
yeah.
right now, I think.
True that. Okay, we'll save the fun stuff for the end, because trust me, that's the fun stuff. But, okay, so I want to start, for anybody who doesn't know you out there, I want to talk about just, like, you as, you know, a person, get to know you a little, and then we'll talk about your work. So I want to know, first of all, how did you get into acting in the first place?
I grew up on a farm in Indiana, and I think it was a combination of not having any playmates, so I lived in my imagination a lot, and then growing up a child of the late 70s. Oh, my God, I almost plugged one of our competing shows. growing up in the late 70s, watching, you know, Maude and All in the Family and Carol Burnett, and just thinking, God, that looks like, you know, so much fun. That would be work. That's a job. You can actually get paid to do that kind of thing. That was like the initial. I think it was also to the, particularly with like Norman Lear shows, like All in the Family and Maude and Good Times and those. I was really intrigued by the idea of being entertainment, but also saying something politically. And what was that Dr. Seuss book? The Lorax. Is that the name of it? There was a TV special of that when I was really young, like maybe 5 or 6. And I remember then thinking, this is a cartoon, and there's a political message to this, but yet it's still fun and entertaining. This is really cool. So I think that was really, I was a product of my time. But, and also that it was about telling stories and creating characters and also sort of representing the underdog. That's always kind of been, and, you know, now that I'm older and I'm sort of like seeing a theme that's kind of developed throughout my work. I tend to play, until recently, a lot of underdogs. So, yeah.
But that's
funny. I never thought of that before. But, yeah, that's. Yeah.
That's the great thing, though, about storytelling that has that poignancy and has that deeper meaning to it, though, because you do have layers. You go back and you watch it again and again, and it means something different to you the more you experience life. And,
yeah.
You know, so I think that era, especially Norman Lear, that was a big, you know, that was just a very big inspiration, I think, to a lot of storytellers out there.
Oh, gosh.
Nobody did it better.
Yeah, he was really – it's funny. You watch them now, and they look, you know, they feel dated, but I think it's – more because they were shot on video instead of film. Like Mary Tyler Moore doesn't feel quite as dated because it doesn't, you know, it's aged better just because it's on better stock. It's on film instead of video. It's not as brightly lit. But in his heyday, I mean, nobody can touch Norman Lear. Shonda Rhimes comes close. She's about the closest, I think, in kind of a different way, but kind of the same kind of, you know, just a maverick dynamo. In terms of producing so many shows and having them all sort of be entertaining but be relevant and have something to say but not be overbearing about it. I think that's entertainer to aspire to. You know, and I also have this thing that I've always kind of had that I've always thought of actors as sort of being political in that we represent portions of society, you know, and the characters we play. Like, I think that I represent skinny, pencil-necked gay geeks of a certain age. Now, you know, middle-aged.
There you go.
You know, so I feel a certain responsibility to you know, represent.
Yeah, well, when you're given that platform, you have to use it, you know, like, and, you know, people who have, well, we've been, like, super blessed with this show, you know, I have a lot of success on Weekdays with Murph and all of that, and I was so lucky to have that platform to talk about, you know, real-life issues along with television, because let's be real, who doesn't like to talk about TV, but there are other things going on in the world, and so we've been lucky to have that platform as well, so I totally understand that.
I live in L.A. I don't know how people in L.A. find time to watch so much television. I'm constantly struggling to keep up.
I know. I'm now that school's back in, I'm struggling so hard. Like, my parents are like, this is on tonight, this is on tonight. And I'm like, I have homework, like, Dean's List or, like, TGIT. Like, it's a really hard balance.
You know, when I was a kid, there were just three networks. It was so easy. Now, I don't know, so many choices and so many great choices. I mean, it really is a golden age of television, both in terms of the quality, but also the fact that there, you know, that there are the networks, there are the cable stations, there's Netflix and Hulu and Amazon and, you know, the independent web series. It's like a platinum age of television, really.
It really is. I mean, and you kind of lead in, you know, especially, I mean, obviously you're an expert at the web platform. I mean, that's a genre that I'm really, really excited to see growing. And I actually just watched Old Dog New Tricks for the first time yesterday, and
it looks hilarious.
And now I have something else to add to that television list that's stacking up that you guys were just talking about. But
well, our episodes are short. We won't take too much of your time. But yeah,
she texted last night saying she watched the first one and that it was hilarious, and I was like, I told you that years ago.
Well, thank you. Oh my god, you guys are too nice. And see, you do your homework. I don't know how many shows I've done where the hosts are like, so what's your show about? I'm like, are you kidding me? You could watch one episode. We spell it out in the pilot. You really only had to commit 5 minutes. But anyway.
Well, and you know, I have to ask this, and this is going to seem like a completely obscure question, but do you ever watch any British television shows?
I do. Not a lot of them. Of course, I'm a huge AbFab fan. Let's see.
There was a show
in the 70s called Agony. It was like a traditional sitcom with an audience about a woman who sort of wrote a Dear Abby column, but her personal life was a mess. I love that show. I wish I could remember the actress's name. Tall. She worked all the time.
Well, the reason I asked that is when I watched Old Dog and New Tricks, what it immediately reminded me of was a gay version of a British show that came out probably about 10 years ago that had Anthony Stewart Head in it called Manchild. And basically,
Tell me more.
Well, I was going to say it was about five British buddies, and they're all straight guys, but basically just the, you know, how they navigated the dating scene and middle age and you know, things like that. And it was, you know, but I saw it and I was just like, okay, this is going to be something I'm going to be watching. And I really was kind of annoyed because I was going to try and sneak a couple episodes at work today, and I just couldn't do it. My boss said,
don't do it at work. No.
Very, very, very disappointed. And I was like, well, maybe that's not a great idea anyway.
You know, our first season, I was so determined to, you know, get the show out there. The first season, I would forget that we had a lot of women fans, and I would forget that, you know, some of these women are on the, you know, on church boards and stuff. And, you know, I'm like sharing the episodes on their Facebook pages and everything. I'm like, oh my god, wait a minute. They're about 2 weeks. I'm like, I can't do that anymore. That's horrible.
Okay. I remember when I met you, I was like 14. And at that time, I was like, oh, my God. Like, I watched it, and I was like, I would be in trouble if people knew that I was watching this right now. Like, I need – and I remember, like, Cody thought it was – like, everybody thought it was so funny because they were like, Emily, like, not only do you watch it, but, like, you're public about this on social media. And I was like, it's hilarious. Like, I don't even care what people think. And I remember I was, like, 14, and, like, grown people, like, on Twitter that watched the show were like, are you sure you're allowed to watch it? And I was like, I'm allowed. I'm a big girl. And I thought it was so funny, though. People were like, are you allowed to watch that show?
Oh, my gosh. I don't think I would have. I don't think I would have let you. You know, my parents
don't have
it. I know. I just can't.
But isn't that could be a blessing, though, really, though. It's your parents. And if you go home to, like, Thanksgiving dinner, can you imagine this, like, the discussion that you're having at Thanksgiving dinner? Like,
well,
no,
real life's bad enough. Now, thanks to Trump, I have to explain to my mom what a golden shower is. So, I mean, my shower,
oh my God.
It pales compared to real life. So, I should send them the DVD now because it's, you know, a big deal now.
If it makes you feel any better, you know, we have family down here. Emily and I are both from Alabama.
Oh,
and my dad literally just blocked me on Facebook 3 days ago because of Donald Trump. So,
do you guys
speak
to each other and, like, interact in real life?
Well, you know, I don't know yet. I figure at some point he's going to come around because I have custody of the grandchild. So, he wants to say
don't forget, you know, that's a great bargaining tool, and don't you ever forget it. I hate to be so.
Use your kid. Use your kid. It's worth it. It works. He's your kid. He's cute.
Yeah.
He
is awfully adorable. So, you know, but no, I have no idea at this point. I would like to think that it's probably not going to be an issue, but at this point, I don't know. He hasn't said anything to me, but we don't talk every day.
We have a new rule.
So, you know,
we're not allowed to discuss it at dinner, at family dinners with the grandparents. We don't talk politics. And at I think it was at Christmas, maybe it was after Christmas dinner, maybe it was like New Year's dinner, I think, we were at my grandparents, and somebody brought up, like, you know, Social Security or something like that, and then somebody started in on Lyndon Johnson, and I was like, that's political, they shouldn't be allowed to sit at the table, and my mom was like, he's dead, and I was like, but we said we weren't allowed to talk politics.
it's hard to separate, I mean... You know, there's an old saying that the personal is political, or the political is personal is political. I forget who said it, but it's becoming more and more true. It's becoming harder and harder not to just have it out just in everyday.
Yeah.
But I do contract work for a CPA, and in the building where she works, in the lobby, they have two TV screens, and one is always on CNN, so it's impossible to go in and out without saying something about... the president, and it's just that alone. It's really hard not to, like, you know, go, oh my God, I just saw that. Guess what he's doing now? It's really hard to.
I know, we do that in my house.
It's human nature to, like, when you see something shocking, to go, oh my God, did you see this?
My passive-aggressive political stance is it works because, of course, when I go into any of our buildings here at work, they're always tuned, of course, to Fox News because, again, we're in the deep south. What I usually do is I turn it over to the nearest soap opera, and that's my passive-aggressive protest right there. I'm like, let's turn on something that's less fantastical than what's going on.
But, you know, I don't think that's passive-aggressive. I think that's – you're just trying to keep the peace. I think that's survival.
Yeah.
That's
– I went to the gym.
There's nothing wrong with that.
And no one was in there, like, at that time of day, which is why I go. But I turned the TV in the cardio room. It's like they have a huge TV in there. It was on Fox News. And nobody was there. I have a key and everything. I turned it to CNN so that when everybody got there after work, like, they would, you know, be super excited because their favorite news network was on. Like, it's all good. I do it, too. But, okay.
You guys are, I have to say, you know, I get a lot of, you know, because I'm so outspoken on Facebook, I get a lot of, oh, you're so brave, and you guys are the brave ones, you know, speaking out, living in the South. I mean, I'm in West L.A., you know, it doesn't get much more liberal.
Yeah, so it's not hard to find, like-minded people there, but here it is a challenge, and, you know, when I find somebody that agrees with me, I want to, like, be their best friend forever because they understand me. But the majority, like, we were talking about it, and I have a government class this semester of all semesters, I'm in college, and I'm sitting there the other day, and we're talking about the wall, and everybody's making fun of the wall because it is hilarious regardless. Like, it is funny that this is actually a real-life problem right now. And this kid in front of me in a T-shirt that says, and sorry to this kid if he's a fan of the show or whatever, not that I expect he is, but he had on a T-shirt that said, like, the periodic table of bait and tackle. So that explains, you know, this guy's personality to you.
Oh, God.
I'm not He really did. And then he starts in, like, whispering, like, because he's shorter than me, and I'm 5'3". I don't know how tall this dude was. And he has a broken leg. Wow. So, like, should you really be running your mouth? But
sorry. Just blew your speakers.
But he's sitting there, and he's like, oh, I'm so pissed right now. Like, well, you know, maybe you either say it out loud where everybody can hear you, not just me, or you shut up, because, no. But I thought it was funny. I'm like, really? You're going to have an opinion right now? Like, I'm taller than you, and I'm a girl, and you have a broken leg. Well, he did.
God bless you. Okay. I mean, God bless you. It's
it's a hard line out here.
Before I kind of got us derailed, though, I guess what I was heading around to, Emily said something about me.
I know, it's so easy to do, isn't it? I do it all the time. And by the way, Trump. Okay, I'm much better now.
Oh, my gosh. There we go.
So new seasons of Old Dogs and New Tricks?
We're back on Trump. We're back on Trump again. You know,
gotcha.
We have a final season. In fact, we have three versions of the final season written. We have one that's like 10 full episodes. We have one that's like 6 episodes. And one that's like 4 episodes, depending on how much money we raise. But the thing is, it's two things, really. One is that fundraising depends a lot on social media. And we were waiting last year until after the election, thinking the result might be different, that we would wait until after the election until the noise died down on social media and then start fundraising. Well, that didn't really happen. And so it's really hard to sort of break through all the noise. And people are absolutely right to be wailing this stuff out
making
on social
noise.
Media. Thank God we have social media. Could you imagine going through this without it? But the other thing, too, is that how do you – I just feel like how can I ask people to contribute to the show when so many of us are wondering if we can – afford a doctor's visit without mortgaging our house next year.
Yeah.
I think that you can, though. I mean, I think we can afford not to, because in this day and age, again, it goes back to that poignant layered storytelling. The story needs to be told. And in the days where we're about to see art budgets slashed next to nothing, we definitely need some good art and entertainment out there. So I would say, throw it out there. If you've got a Kickstarter or a GoFundMe, something like that.
God bless you. Well, we do have a GoFundMe thing that's still active, and I'll give that address at the end of the show. Remind me. Don't let me forget it.
We'll put it on our social media for you.
Oh, cool. It's just GoFundMe.com/ODNTS4. As in Old Dogs, New Tricks.
That was easy
enough. Yeah. I remember when we first started, our website address was Old Dogs and New Tricks, the series.com. And everyone was like, Leon, are you crazy?
I
was like, yeah, that was a mistake.
While
it's now
ODNT.tv. Old Dogs and New Tricks social media, I would like to shout out to everybody out there. You guys need to follow the Old Dogs, New Tricks Facebook page, go through the pictures. You know, they're enjoyable. That would be it.
Cool, yeah.
Put it out there for everybody. Yep. They have some lovely
Old Dogs,
the
series,
the
and then on Twitter, ODNT, the series on Twitter, and Old Dogs, the series on Facebook. And or just go to my page, Leon Acorn, and there are links everywhere. But I do agree with you. I think we have to represent there are all sorts of places in the script where we could insert comments reflecting what we're going through these days, which I think would be really also important. Also not only to reflect, but maybe to be a time capsule for 20 years from now when people are hearing like, what happened? have things to watch and go like, oh, my God, that really happened. Oh, my God. Yeah, so, I mean, I'm not giving up, but, I'm giving it a – It's encouraging what you say, and I hear that a lot, and so
I think it's true. You know, people can say what they want or what, but one of the finest forms of advocacy is art. I mean, that's always been a way of people expressing their minds, expressing their fears, their feelings, their hurts, their wants, their needs. I mean, if you can't, you know, if everyone can't tell how they're feeling through art, then how else are you going to express it? I mean, completely important.
Well, and in times like these, people also are looking for something to enjoy. And, you know, Old Dogs and New Tricks, hilarious. And I know people would enjoy laughing over it you know. I'm sure if you're writing it, there will be a good Trump joke in there. So
at least one per episode. It's
yeah,
and plus two, I think it's entertainment is subtle. I mean, you know, you don't have to be a middle-aged woman to enjoy Golden Girls, for example. You know, I think humor is universal, and if that can, you know, convince one person who's maybe leaning towards the dark side that, oh my God, LGBT, they're real people. Maybe they do deserve rights. Then, you know, that's one less person who's going to be voting against us. So.
Well, yeah, and you know that Will and Grace is coming back to NBC this summer. So that's another, you know, a good place for it. Because I know they're going to talk about politics. You know, that
Oh, absolutely. In fact,
election.
I can say this.
Hilarious.
For fans of the show, there's a lot of talk about, getting back to the one who should not be named, there's a lot of talk right now that Trump is going to sign an order by the First Amendment, religious freedom giving, you know, companies the right to, you know, discriminate based on religious reasons. The cast is in agreement. If and when Trump signs that, we're going to shoot a short public, quote-unquote, public service announcement addressing it. We haven't decided if it'll be in character, if it's just going to be us as the actors talking to the camera. But I mean, if and when that does happen, that's really serious. And it's everyone in the cast, like within 10 minutes when I asked them, they're like, yes, absolutely, we're there.
Well,
so,
we know that, you know, whatever you guys decide to do as a group, especially, it's going to be entertaining. It's going to be enlightening, most likely. So I'm all for it, and we are totally down for whatever you guys decide to do. But I personally vote that we, you know, get 10 more episodes of Old Dollars and Truth.
I would love that. They're written. My biggest challenge will not be preachy, because I can be so preachy. The thing will be, you know, keep it, dial it back. Don't be too much.
I'll film it on our iPhones. I'll come hold like my iPhone 6, like, you know, let's record Old Dogs and New Tricks on our iPhones. That'll work. You don't have to crowdfund.
That'll work.
I mean,
we'll
just do it on our iPhone.
Well, that's another thing. We set this impossible high bar when we first started the show. One of our goals was like, let's make the best looking web series that ever was. Let's just make it, in addition to being well written, which I hope, knock wood, it has been and will continue to be. Let's just make it look like a movie, and I think for the most part we've succeeded, but it's really expensive to do that and to maintain that. And I, you know, there have been talk about, you know, we've talked occasionally about, well, we could cut this and we could cut that and not do that, and it's like, you know, but then we're not the same show if we change it so radically that we don't look or sound like we were talking about. Well, we could do like short episodes where one episode would focus on Nathan and the next one could focus just on, it's like, yeah, it's interesting, but it's not, you know, we've sort of...
But it's not the identity of the show.
Exactly. There you go. You're much more concise than I am.
I don't know where that
now
came
have,
from. I'm not always that concise.
Now, have you had any thought to, and I know probably, and again, you know, I'm one episode in at this point, so I know that, and I understand that the episode, you know, length is what, probably, I guess it was about 5, almost 6 minutes, I think, on the first one, so I'm guessing they're all about that length. So have you put any thought to shopping it around for anything like Hulu or Amazon Prime or anything like that? You know, The Bay just went to Amazon Prime. And so basically, anytime I find a web series, I'm like, ooh, maybe somebody can pick it up, you know?
We had our first two seasons were distributed or put out on DVD by Wolf Video. And as part of that deal, they actually got us on Hulu, and we were there for about a year and a half. And then they just sort of let the show go because they didn't really promote it or anything, which I don't blame them. I mean, they have tons of new stuff. I mean, they can't possibly keep everything that they put on. They can't keep all of it on. But so we've been there, and we actually, Bruce Hart and I have talked a lot about, you know, there are so many new platforms and avenues popping up constantly that, you know, we really should try to get the show back on one of them. The thing with that is, I mean, the experience with Wolf, God bless them, it wasn't a totally great experience. One of the great things about web series is that the creator can kind of stay in control, you know, and you can release them as you want to release them. And I got kind of spoiled by that. So I could go either way.
Well, you just want things the way that you want them, and I completely understand that. You know, it's like your brainchild, your baby. You got it.
And yeah, and
know.
It's not that I expect to have my way all the time. In fact, I've learned one of my biggest lessons is that some of the times I haven't got my way, it's been good. It's actually almost every time I don't get my way is a good thing. But I forgot where I was going with that. Well, yeah, well, that's one thing. It's good not to always
you
get your way.
You had a philosophical point. We'll just
oh, I did. It's, you know, it's not so much that I always want to get my way, but I do want to be heard. I don't want to just
–
the problem we had with Wolf is they were so anxious to get it out on DVD that once they got our first two seasons out, they didn't really know what to do with the third season, and they didn't really want to put it online. They thought they would just sell it directly to DVD, but then there would be delays getting it out. And I'm like, well, gosh, we've already waited so long. And I felt like our fans who donated to the show deserved to see it for free, certainly, before we asked people to pay for it.
You mentioned Bruce Hart, and that brings up the next topic. You are in a new movie with him that he produced and that he's also in. And for anybody who doesn't know, he played Nelson on Old Dogs and New Tricks. So the movie's called Open. So why don't you tell us a little about it? Give us a sneak peek.
Okay. It's called Open. It's about Bruce plays it's a really fun and gay romantic comedy. It kind of reminds me if Hallmark or Lifetime did gay movies, gay comedies. It kind of has that feel to it. It's about this gay couple, Bruce and Peter Zalega, and I know I'm mispronouncing his name. I'm sorry, Peter. I'm a farm boy. It's not Jones or Smith. But anyway, they play this long-term, this gay couple celebrating their 10th anniversary and feeling kind of not unhappy, but just kind of a little bored. And I and Brian Nolan, who's actually joined Old Dogs in our last special, we play their best friends, a swinging gay couple in an open marriage. And Bruce and I play best friends in this. So it's like, it was trippy enough to shoot it, but I've seen the film twice in the screening. It's like, oh my God, we make pretty good best friends. And it's so, you know, we're so nasty to each other on Old Dogs. We're really kind of vicious, like enemies. And it was really fun
that.
He's such a good bitch on our show. And then to see him in Open, he's really, he's such a nice guy. And you really feel for him. I don't want to give too much about the plot away, but his partner has a little more success in the open marriage. His husband, I should say, has more success in the open marriage business than he does. And you really, people just have to see it. I'm really happy with it. Plus, I get to play a character who's like totally like 360 from Nathan Adler, because he's like, you know, he's a swinger, he's a smart mouth, he's actually a lot more like me than Nathan is actually, because he speaks his mind, he's rather kind of out there. But yeah, the film, it's going to be, the film's going to be at Q-Flix. It's a festival in Philadelphia in March, and it just won Best Comedy at a festival called Q-Cinema in Fort Worth. So yeah, I think it's going to like play festival circuits and then be on a probably a streaming platform, hopefully DVD. I don't think DVDs are completely dead yet, but it's really funny. It's got a great cast. There are a lot of, let's see, who are some of the people? Drew Doge is in it. Jason Stewart's in it. David Pevsner from Old Dogs is in it. Ron Jeremy has a cameo. I'm in a movie with Ron Jeremy. How weird is that? But people love him. People
so
love
Emily,
Ron Jeremy.
Emily, you're old enough to watch him now, so, you know.
Yeah.
No.
That's legal.
Do not Google Ron Jeremy. You're still too young.
Okay,
gone.
I won't be watching him at work.
I'm not going to Google it. I know better.
I'm sure I'm leaving. Dante the comedian's in it, and Rebecca, and I can't pronounce her name either. Rebecca, I'm sorry, she's the star of the Eating Out movies. It's a great cast. It was really fun to shoot, and it's really funny, so I hope people will check it out when it's out. And And
well, hopefully there'll be something, some type of film circuit down here that'll let me see it.
Well, you know, there you go. Actually, I don't know that much about. I know festivals in general are kind of like drying up because everything is going from DVDs and screening. Because, you know, you used to do festivals to try to get a distributor to be, you know, in theaters and then DVD. But now it's all just like, okay, well, they don't even go straight to DVD now. It's all streaming and so it's.
Well, there is a relatively new film festival in my hometown, which is right across. I live in Mobile, and across the bay is a town, a very artsy town called Fairhope, and that's where I'm originally from. And they started a big film festival, I guess, 2 or 3 years ago, maybe, and they've already had it this year. But yeah, it was probably a good week long one. So maybe
nice.
They'll pick it up.
Maybe
I can lobby for it up there.
I live north of Birmingham, and we don't have things like that here. We don't have fun stuff. We have fields and cows. Well, that's not true.
You know, I grew up in Indiana. Before even the internet, so I feel you.
Yeah, I don't live in the boonies. Like, we live in a city. It's just not, you know, it's Alabama, so it's a little behind the times. I mean, you know, well, a lot behind the times. Let's be realistic.
I mean,
I bet the food's great, though. I mean, and there is like a southern charm. It's not all. I don't want to sound like I'm profiling the South because a lot. You know, my parents are.
No, it's
dad's
okay. Go
side,
ahead.
His family's from the
we
South.
Do it.
Go ahead.
Oh, and bless
yeah,
their heart and all that stuff. I mean, it's very charming, and you know how you can tell someone to go to hell with a smile on your face.
Well, yeah,
you know,
and they realize that you told them that for a while.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah.
I can say in all honesty, Mobile's not a huge metropolis, obviously, or anything like that, but there is a pretty strong gay community here. In fact, I'm going to a Mardi Gras ball tomorrow night, and it's one of the gay societies here that's hosting it. So it's there's a tight knit and a very strong community. Terribly large, probably not, but they're represented here, probably a little bit more so in Pensacola, but.
Yeah,
I
kind of
like
that.
You know, they don't have that stuff here. And I love that whole kind of the royal court thing that they have down there. The pageants and things that they have.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Which is, like, so unique to the South and so cool. It's so, like, retro 50s. It's kind of a throwback. I like
it. It very much is. Mobile is just this weird mishmash of you know, your typical stuff that you see in the South, and then this weird hanging on to this aristocracy that has been dead for ages. And I guess it's kind of that whole Southern Belle whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it definitely has
in the outfit.
Gumption.
Well, I mean,
that's what they call
it. Definitely has more jagged edges to it, though, than that. I mean, because, you know, you think about Mardi Gras and everybody loves Mardi Gras, but then you also think about for how long all of the crews are still, you know, mostly segregated and things like that down here. It's a double-edged sword.
You know, I've never been to Mardi Gras in Louisiana, in New Orleans, but I've always found it kind of interesting that New Orleans is like both the height of sexual depravity during, you know, that week. Certainly during Mardi Gras, and yet it's at the same time one of the most conservative places, and yet at the same time one of the most black places, and yet, I mean, it's so many, it's
everything.
It's fascinating to me. It really is.
It is.
And a lot of the
it's
South
a big
is
giant
like that.
Stew. It's a big giant stew of incredibly different cultures, and it's, again, double-edged sword sometimes.
Well, I live in a super conservative place. I don't live in the boondocks. I live in a city, but it's not quite Birmingham, and it's not quite Huntsville. But, I mean, to give you guys an idea, we had a parade a while back, like a year ago there was a parade, and the Coleman County Democrats, there were like six in the parade. like the building. I kid you not, and like two of them, like one of them was like Joan Collins and was like as old as Moses. Like, I mean, they've been around a while.
Well, Joan Collins is as old. Maybe it was Joan Collins.
Yeah. I know.
That's horrible. I'm sorry, Joan.
People in this parade. Yeah, we love you, Joan, of course, but there was like...
We do.
Yeah,
she would have said
Joan,
the exact same thing. You know, she has the same kind of sense of humor, so hopefully
because
she understands.
Joan Collins is listening to this show.
Yeah, well,
right?
You never
yeah.
know. You know, we actually talked to her agents to see about her doing the show, and they actually said she would probably do it if she's in town. Could you imagine? But I kind of...
I would die.
Believe you shouldn't meet... You should not meet your idols, I think, because they cannot possibly live up to...
I don't know.
Although, you know, that's not
so
true. Ian Buchanan, I have to say, he's still, like, major wow material.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, he's hot. funny story. I told him once on accident, so that's nice. I'll tell you later. Like, it's a long story. But anyway, I hit
he's
on
pretty
Ian
cool.
Once, guys,
he's,
and it was the greatest moment ever, and I don't regret it.
He's unflappable. He's really cool. I mean, we've been really lucky with having a lot of great guest stars, but he's the only one that really kind of made me go, duh, lady. He's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, well, you know what? When I was 15, I accidentally hit on him, and he played along, and it was awesome. So, whatever. But it was I didn't mean to tweet it to him. I meant to tweet it to a friend. He was tagged in the tweet. There was a comment.
Oh, no. Well, he's an actor.
He
you know... There's part of him that was okay with it, even if he was, you know,
oh,
I think
he enjoyed
it's okay.
it. Like, he played along, like, for hours this went down. Like, like, 3 hours we're on Twitter, like, and, you know, it's still a joke, even though it's 5 years
you
down.
You know, that's how cool he is. His first day of shooting our show was the middle of this huge wedding, two-part epic episode we were doing. And he ended up waiting around for hours, and I felt horrible, and we finally got his scenes in the can, and he went home for the day, and I went home and sent him an email saying, oh, my God, Ian, I'm so sorry you had to sit around and wait, and I feel awful, and I guarantee you the rest of your days on the show, we're going to, you know, get you in and out, and his response was so cool. He's like, just shut up. That's, you know, that's what making a TV show is like. Just shut up and don't worry about it, and I'll see you tomorrow. And it was so nice.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's great. He's so kind to everybody online. I love him. I love interacting with him on social media. But he was really cool about it because they were like, just delete the tweet. And I was like, it's been out there for like, you know, it had already been out there for like 10 minutes. And I was like, people have already seen this tweet. Like, I'm not going to delete it. We'll just see what happens. Like, when Ian Buchanan gets on Twitter later. And it ended up being a whole thing. And it is still a joke. And it is still mentioned today. So it's fine. But we have
And he knows everybody. I mean, he's worked with like everybody in Hollywood, it seems. Whenever I meet someone, they're like, oh, Ian, you know my friend Ian. He said, Leon, you remind me of my good friend Sybil Shepherd. She's crazy, of course, but I love her. And I'm like, okay.
That's fantastic.
That's a compliment?
The first thing I ever saw him in, because I started watching General Hospital after he had already left, but the first thing I remember seeing him in was the It's Gary Shandling show.
That's right.
When it was on.
Oh my God, I forgot about that.
Yeah,
yeah.
And
so
about
you know, it later and like haunt him with it. Like
I forgot all about
on
that.
YouTube. Go back Thursday. There you go.
I think that's why. Okay, go ahead.
I was just gonna say we only have about 5 minutes left, but really quick, why don't you tell everybody how to find you on social media and then they can hook up with you on there. So.
Well, if they want to see the show, we are at. ODNT.TV. All of our episodes are there and info about the cast and archives about stuff. Follow me on social media at Facebook. I'm Leon Acord Actor. You can also follow the show on Facebook at Old Dogs the Series and on Twitter, ODNT the Series. I'm actually working on a new website, so I don't have an actor who doesn't have a website. But that's okay, because when it's done, it's going to be fabulous. So
that's okay. His Facebook's more fun anyway, so whatever.
But, I think that's it, right? And the movie's called Open, and it's going to be, hopefully, I mean, after it makes the round of festivals, it's going to be coming to a streaming service or DVD store near, well, there's no more DVD stores, what am I saying? Amazon or
DVD
streaming
store,
service,
that's funny.
If people want to contribute to a final season of Old Dogs, that's GoFundMe.com/ODNTS4. And, it's written, and we'll see. And we'll probably, at some point we're going to decide, yes, we are going to go forward and how much we're going to do. We keep waiting for the noise to die down, but it clearly is not going to die down. So I think the time.
Well, then you're going to be waiting about 4 years, my friend.
Yeah.
But
I mean, hopefully it's that quick. And, you know, I'm
so
sorry if I got a little political, but it's
no,
so
that's okay.
These days.
Welcome to the club.
You're in the right audience for that one. But so when you do start filming, or when Open does start coming out on streaming, will you come back and talk with us
again?
Oh,
absolutely. You know,
absolutely.
I always, it was great. You guys ask great questions. It's always fun to talk to you.
Yeah, you guys.
Great.
Come back.
Thank
we
you so much for being on.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, well, we will catch up with you on social media, and we will tweet out your link and the link to GoFundMe and the link to the episode so everybody can find you.
Cool, and I'll retweet and share and all that stuff. And stay strong, and, you know, truly, your women in the South, you're our heroines, and stay strong.
Well,
we will. Thank you.
All right, well, we will let you go, and we will catch up with you on social media later.
All right, bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Okay, so really quick, we have two announcements, and then we will wrap the show up. First of all, he was great, of course. You know, tweet us what you guys thought, since Kathy won't
I cannot
opinion,
wait to,
re-
to watch
she'd
the rest
hear
of it.
Yours. I know.
I can't wait to watch
he's
the rest
awesome.
Of it, so it's... Yeah, it really was really hilarious. I can't wait to watch the rest of it. But yeah, I will not watch it.
It is hilarious, and I think I might watch it again. I watched it when I was young, when it came out. So maybe I'll watch it again. But it is hilarious. It is a great, you know, entertainment break for sure. And it's nice that they're short and, you know, they don't drag, basically. Because a lot of times, you know, especially web series, sometimes move slowly. I like that it's fast-paced. They're quick. They're obviously humorous, but okay, so we have a couple announcements. Next Thursday nights at 5:30, not 5 o'clock, we're going to do a soap gossip comings and goings kind of show, chat with what's been going on. There has been a lot going on in soaps right now, recently, not right now. There's a lot of stuff going around. There's a lot of casting news, so we got to sit down and talk about it. That's our pride and joy, of course. And then next Saturday at 5 o'clock, we have T.C. Warner from All My Children. You guys know her. She's Kelsey on All My Children, and we are so looking forward to hearing from her and seeing what she's going on, and, you know, maybe we can get a little info out of her. Maybe we'll be seeing her on another soap sometime soon. Maybe we'll see her on General Hospital now that Prospect Park has been resolved, so we'll try to find out as much as possible, of course. We have 3 minutes left. If there's anything you would like to leave our listeners with, Kathy?
Just tweet us your opinion of what's going on and what you'd like to hear us talk about. And I'm at so much whatever.
And I'm at
Emily, you are at
0915. So you guys tweet us. And if you want to see anybody on the show, if you want to hear from anybody, let us know. We would be more than happy to at least attempt to book anyone you would like to see. I can't guarantee anything, of course, but you know, if they did weekdays or if I know them, then chances are pretty good shot of getting them on. But anybody that you can think of that you'd like to see on the show, that you would like to hear from, anything, tweet us. We'd love to hear from you. And thank you to everybody who has downloaded so far and who is streaming our show. We appreciate the love so much. We are getting an awesome response, and it's been great, even though we've only had a few episodes. So
go find
that,
us on iTunes.
Yeah, find us on iTunes. I forget everything. Anyway, we're going to wrap up with that before we were forcibly removed. But thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll catch up with you later. Bye.
Bye.